It's time. Time to get inspired and empowered. To realize it's never too late. To create your next amazing story. Get ready to break through, transform, and start living the life of your dreams. So, are you ready? Truly ready to begin your journey to create your next amazing story in life and love? Great. Let's jump in with your host, Life and Love Transformational Coach, Suzanne Oshima.
Welcome, everybody, to the It's Never Too Late show. I'm Suzanne Oshima, and I'm a Life and Love Transformational Coach at Your Next Amazing Story. Today, we have a very special guest, Dr. Joan Brager, and she's the author of Never Too Late for Love, The Successful Woman's Guide to Online Dating in the Second Half of Life. And today, she's going to share just that with you, is how to find love in your second half of life. So welcome, Joan. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here too.
Well, so Joan, I know a part of what triggered you to write this book, because you don't come from working in the dating industry, right?
No, it's not where I had come from, no.
But it's truly your own personal life story that made you say, you know what, I need to write this book for other women, because you were married in your 40s and 50s, right? And then something happened.
Yes. Well, I found this has happens to many women in our generation. When I was 58, the marriage I was in ended. It ended peacefully. We didn't have a terrible divorce, but we were really going in different directions in our lives. So there I was, 58 years old, single, which, by the way, as you may know, there's a tremendous portion of women in our generation who are single. And I was scared. I said, oh my God, how do you date? I didn't know anything about online dating. My son, who was 32, said, Mom, get online. And, you know, you need to write a profile. And I was really terrified. And so he gave me a little courage, and he encouraged me to do it. And I got online. And you know how people are always afraid that there are crazy people online?
Yes.
Well, actually, there are crazy people online. I just want to let everybody know that if you're going to choose to online date, as I did, it can be scary because you actually can't tell, I have to say this, you can't tell much about people from a computer screen. There's a bunch of other things you have to do to find out about people. And so what I found myself meeting many people. I went on Match.com. I had a funny joke with myself. I said, at that time, it cost $75 to go on Match.com. I said, he's got to be able to invest at least $75 in this, right?
Well, that is so true. And I think a lot of women don't think about that is, I tell a lot of women, you know, the free sites aren't as great as you think they are, because if a man isn't willing to invest in finding love, then how serious is he really about finding the right woman? So you're absolutely right, is the investment of $75 back then in Match was a smart choice.
And then what I found out by going online was that there were thousands of 60-year-old single men in the Boston area, which I never knew. I didn't meet them in the grocery store. My friends weren't matching me up with anybody. The social events I went to, there were not single men there. So that's where they were. They were online. And so I went. To say it was not easy, I met over a 2-year period 40 different men. I just kept meeting them. And the hard part is not to make it, there's anything wrong with you if it doesn't work out. Because, you know, the truth is in dating, 99% of the time, it's not going to work out. This is just somebody that's for a million reasons is not someone you want to live the rest of your life with. So I met many, many people. Now, sometimes people ask me, did you know right away? And the answer is no. Sometimes I would have a dinner with a person. He would even just a coffee with someone. I knew he was interesting enough to have another conversation with. That's all I really knew after a first coffee. So sometimes I would have 2 or 3 dinners with someone before I found out we're not compatible enough. Some people I went out with for 2 weeks. One person I went out with for 3 months to really find out, no, it's just not right. So I just kept going through it. And it wasn't easy. You know, some people are very strange and you meet them and they might say they're 5'10" and you come in and they're shorter than you are. And you're like, what was that about? You know, or, you know, one guy lied about his age. And I just asked him, well, you know, something about high school. He told me when he graduated from high school, I immediately knew he was lying about his age. I was like, why do people bother to do this? You know, right. And so you are screening for integrity. One of the first things you want to live with a human being. You want him to be an honest person.
So let me ask you a question, because you went out on 40 dates over a 2-year period, and I know that sounds like a lot to you. I will tell you, I know people that have gone on, and these are other dating experts who've gone on 100 dates or 200 dates, so 40 actually isn't that long, a lot. But I would love for you to share with the ladies, because throughout that process, I know you shared there are some scary people online, but it sounds like you met a lot of men that were actually good men, but they weren't necessarily the right man that you would want to spend the rest of your life with, right?
You know, there was one close to, you know, I kept, first of all, I kept committing. I said, I'm going to find someone by 59. And then by 59, he didn't come. So I said, I had a coach at the time. I did the only thing I could do. I committed to find him by 60. You know, that's what happens. So when I was getting close to 60, I remember there was a lovely man that I met. He was very interesting. He was an oceanographer. He was doing very interesting things. We were very excited to meet each other. Oh, this will be very interesting. We went on one dinner, two dinners, very exciting. On the third date, we went out, and there was a moment when we just knew that temperamentally we weren't matched. He was, you know, from my point, he was a little bit too rigid for me. I'm a very, you know, wide open person. And I need someone who appreciates me exactly the way I am, who's not trying to curtail me or move me into something. So, I mean, that's one of the challenges for women in, who are older. We actually know who we are. And I don't think changing us is a good strategy for a man. So, yes.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I totally agree with you that, yes, a man should not try to change us, but it also is reciprocal. We as women should not try to change a man, because I see that all too often where women will say, he would be perfect if I could just change this about him. And the fact of the matter is like you said, no one should be trying to change anybody. We shouldn't try to change men, and men shouldn't try to change us. Okay. If you're trying to change him into making him something else, is quite honestly, he's the wrong man for you.
Or hoping he'll change. So, and the other thing I learned is, and I learned this now from being with my husband is, well, we took it very slowly at first. I met him. He was a father of 5 grown children. He stayed in his marriage a very long time to make sure they got raised. Long past, I'd say, the love and romantic part of that relationship was way over. So he was a careful guy. So I'll tell you how he was careful. And this isn't true of all online dating. He dated me for 3 months, meaning he called me, picked me up at my house, took me out to the movies, and took me home and kissed me goodbye. Now, that was unusual, I have to say, that most men did not want to do that.
And what part did they not want to do?
The postponing sleeping together. That's what it's hard. It's a very hard thing for. It was incredible. When I've asked him later, why did you do that? Why were you? And I thought he was great about it, too. He said, I really wanted to make sure that we liked each other as friends before we added anything else to it.
So let me ask you a question about that, because that comes up a lot for women. And did you have to have that conversation with him that you weren't ready to sleep with him, or was he just being really respectful and he never like put you guys in positions where that would happen?
I never said any. I had said it to other people. Sometimes I got a good laugh about that. I once told a man on a first date, very handsome man. I said, I don't think I'd sleep with you till I really got to know you. And he was like, how long would that be? It's very funny. I'll never forget that. But I sort of got clear I needed to get to know them. But he never raised it he just did it. He just was very respectful. He's an extremely respectful, sort of old-fashioned guy. That's what he is. And he was, so he was lovely. He led on that one.
So now, how did you know, Joan? Like, was it in the very beginning stages of dating or that 3-month period that you knew that he was the one? Or were you kind of like, no, I really like him, but let's see where it goes?
I think it's, he was very attractive, very kind, very nice, very interesting man. I knew that for a fact, but it took me quite a while, even after we started to sleep together. I told him I wanted to take time before I agreed to marry him. And actually, I heard something. This is so funny. This is, I'm dating myself, but the advice columnist, Ann Landers, when asked how long should you know a man before marrying him, she said 2 years. You want to see him in a lot of situations. And so I told my poor husband that. I said, it's going to be 2 years. And so he proposed to me several times in those 2 years. And then finally, I just really knew what a good and kind and trustworthy man he was, that this would be a man I could trust for the rest of my life. And it was only when I got there, which took time for me, that I could commit to him in a serious way.
So that's really interesting, because for you, him to propose to you several times within 2 years, you turning him down or saying you're not ready can kill a man's ego. And so I'm surprised that he kept trying. So how did you say to him that you weren't ready that kept him going instead of him pulling away and saying, okay, this isn't going to work? Because he could have easily done that.
I really clearly laid it out to him that it had nothing to do with him. I needed to take time. And it wasn't, and he asked me several deal breakers, like, I'll just tell you. So I'm Jewish. I thought I had it in my head. I was going to find a Jewish man and that compatibility would work. My husband's not Jewish. So about, 4 months into the relationship, he looked at me and he said, listen, if this is going to be a deal breaker for you, you have to let me know now. And I thought, wow, that's very clarifying. And I said, do I want this wonderful man to walk out of my life because of this? And I said, okay, no, it won't be a deal. I will never raise it again. It won't be a deal breaker. And I've kept that promise, and I'm glad I did. So we talked about it. I mean, we both knew what we were up to. We wanted a serious relationship. And we were taking time. We were getting to know each other's families and friends and lives and all those things you have to do to join your life together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what would you say to the woman? Because at what age did you meet him?
I met him just as I turned 60.
And then you got married at 62?
I was married at 62, yes. We've been married for 3 years, yeah.
Okay, so Joan, I'm going to tell you what my audience usually says is, oh, it's so hard to meet men my age that want to date women their age. What would you say to them?
That's a really important question. I've asked my husband, why did you want to date women your age? He said, well, look, he was 64. His son was 44. Or at that time, he's about 42. And he said, I don't want to go out with people in my son's generation. I want to go out with people in my generation. And that's what I've learned, is that a quality man, not all men, some men want younger women because they want someone on their arm, and you don't want that guy. Okay. But a quality man wants someone who we can talk to. And oh my goodness, just the fact of raising kids. We both have adult children. We have that experience in common, and we're very supportive and understanding of it. And we're also at a similar place, like in our transitions. We're going to our next chapter, and together we've had such a great time. We bought a condo in Florida, and we're spending time there. So I wanted someone in my phase of life. But this question you're asking, Suzanne, people ask me that too. Don't they want younger women? Well, I will say not the good ones. I have many friends and clients, 70-year-old men who fell in love with 70-year-old women who were thrilled to find somebody who had gone through all the same experiences they had gone through. I think I've heard in the last month several marriages of 60 plus year olds to other 60 plus year olds. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm clear.
So now in that 2 year period, I'm sure for you, it was an up and down roller coaster ride. Like some days it was great. And then some days I'm sure you had these feelings of, oh my God, this is the worst thing. I'm never going to find love. What made you keep going and not give up?
That's a really good question. Well, one, I have to say that I worked with a coach and I committed to her, which helped. It helps to have somebody else standing by you when you get disappointed. I really want to say that. Why didn't I give up? It's funny because as I was getting closer to my 60th birthday, in the 4 months before that, I literally had two or three date relationships that fizzled out. I was like, oh my God. But I had made the commitment to do that. So instead of giving up, saying, oh, I'm going to take a 2 month break, you know, which people do when they online date, like, I can't take this anymore. I need to, instead of taking a break, I just went back online. And the interesting thing was my husband's profile was one I'd seen 9 months before. I'd sent a note to, he hadn't responded. You know, that happens all the time. You really have to learn that. So he said, okay, the guy didn't respond, but oh, I'm getting down to my own committed deadline. I'll send him another note. We'll see what'll happen. So I sent another note and he responded that time. And he very quickly wanted to meet me. He didn't want to talk on the phone. And I asked him why that was. Well, I talked to him on the phone. He talked for 5 minutes. And I said, this guy, I don't know who he is. He can't even talk on the telephone. That's what I said. But then when we met, we talked for an hour and a half and had a wonderful conversation. And I asked him, why were you like that on the phone? He said, he was on online dating for 8 years. He had learned that he had to meet someone in person. He just couldn't tell anything from texting or email or phone was not enough. And sure enough, as soon as we met, you know, I had this tremendous experience of who he was, what a lovely man he was. So that I just kept going. Being committed helps.
Being committed is important and having a coach is important.
Yeah.
But what would you say to the woman that says, okay, well, Joan, that's great for you, but I am so afraid of rejection. Like when I have a lot of clients, when they reach out to men and the men don't respond or it falls off the face of the earth where the communication just drops down, is they take it personally. So what would you say to her?
Well, this happens all the time. Okay. Because, I actually had a man who got mad at me that I didn't respond to him. And I went out of my way and I communicated with him. I said, look, this is online dating. Sometimes the men don't respond. Sometimes the women don't respond. It doesn't mean anything about you. And he calmed down. It was a very crazy thing. But for women, what it triggers, what I've learned is it triggers old false beliefs like I'm not lovable or I have to make it on my own or nobody really values me. So the trouble with disappointment and dating is very disappointing. I just want to say that because you get your hopes up and then he's not the one and then you get your hopes up. He's not the one. It's an over and over again cycle. I had an old false belief from when I was very young that I have to make it on my own. And, you know, it's just not true. I don't actually have to make it on my own. And the mature part of me knows that. So I would, you know, calm down that young part of me who said, no one's out there for me. I have to make it on my own. Say, that's not actually true. A good man will. So I have to calm myself down in every disappointment.
That's interesting. So you knew what I'm hearing is you knew what your triggers were and you had a technique to neutralize that.
Yes, I did. I had a very clear technique to do it. And I had to do it over and over again, calm myself down.
Can you share it with us what your technique was?
Well, what it is when somebody disappoints you, okay, you actually feel it somewhere in your body, like your heart or your stomach, something hurts. So you say, all right, where do I feel this? And then you ask yourself, what are you feeling? Well, I'm feeling alone. And what do you need? Well, I need someone who's there for me all the time. And that's, and say, okay. And then you actually tell yourself, listen, a good man is coming, but until then I'm there for you. There's an adult person here who will take care of life. So you are going to be safe. So you, I literally went through it every time I was disappointed to soothe myself. It's that hurt part of you that stops you. And it does get triggered by dating.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I actually believe that it gets triggered the more we get older. And the reason why I say that is because we have less of a support system as we get older, because we find, number one, our social circles change. But number two is our friends that are married or in relationships truly don't understand what you're going through. And so even when they try to provide support, they don't even get it. They don't even get the big picture.
Yes, here I am, 59, 60 years old, and my feelings are getting hurt by someone I don't know. So, and over again, and I have to recover each time, over and over again, I have to recover myself each time. Yeah, it's very hard to understand.
Exactly. So now you're happily married, and you're living this wonderful life with your husband, and what would you say to the woman that is in that place where she's been single for 10 years? Because that's very possible. She could have gone through a divorce and she's been single for 10 years or even, quite honestly,
even longer.
Longer.
Yes.
And she's like, yeah, that's great for you, Joan, but I've been single for so long, I don't even know that if this is even possible for me.
You know, I have a client who's 68. And she had spent most of her adult life not in relationship. And she came to me at 68 and said, I think I want to break through this. And so we did the deep inner work, which was when she was 18, someone broke up with her and she decided she wasn't lovable. So she started to date and noticed that it would come up. And in the first man whom she had a good relationship with, she said, you know, I have a thing that I'm not lovable. And he said, oh, no, you're very lovable. A very nice 70-year-old man told me, you're very lovable. So no matter how tragic or long this loss has been, I really do believe you can heal those parts of you. I believe human beings are made to be connected and love each other. I really do. I think that's the design of this species. And anything we do that gets in the way of it, we need to learn how to correct that. That's.
Yeah, and you know what I say, Joan, is that it truly isn't ever too late. Is if you're willing to make the commitment to change and to really shift to make whatever you want to happen, it can happen, but you have to be willing to make that commitment to say, this is what I truly want, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes. It's not going to happen if you don't make the commitment, or if you do it, you know,
give up easily, or didn't work out, so you give up. I had one client, she was 65, she'd been in a 35-year marriage and relationship. Okay. And she wasn't sure she could date again. And she was afraid and nervous. She'd known her husband since high school. It's a very funny thing. She went on. So she kept going. She didn't give up, even though she wanted to many times. You know, her advice is, she has funny advice. She says, just keep fishing. Don't quit fishing. Just keep fishing. And she met a lovely man who came from her friendship group when she was a kid. She found him online. And that gave her enough comfort. And now they've been many years in a happy relationship. They're 70 now. They're happy, you know. Yes, what you're saying is true. Don't give up. If you give up, you can't get what you want in life. Sorry. I'll just say one thing. If women were looking for a job and it was hard, they wouldn't give up.
Yeah, right? I say the same thing. I use that analogy all the time. I'm like, if you kept getting rejected from job interview after job interview, would you just go, oh, okay, I can't take the rejection. I'm just going to stop looking. No, you would keep going. And I will share my most amazing client. She was a young 74 when I helped her find love. And it's because, like you said, she made that commitment to what she wanted. And she was open to making some shifts in her life. Yes. So this has been amazing, Joan. So I know that you wanted to share something with the ladies.
Yes. Well, I've written this year this book. It's called Never Too Late for Love, The Successful Woman's Guide to Online Dating in the Second Half of Life, which is us. And I have it. It's on Kindle. The paperback's coming out in 2020, but I'd like to offer a digital copy to your listeners. And to get that, just send me an email, and I'm going to carefully tell you what the email is. It's Joan, J-O-A-N, at joanbrager.com. I'm going to spell, so Joan Brager is one word. Brager is B-R-A-G-A-R. B-R-A-G-A-R, joanbrager.com. Send me an email. I'll send you a digital copy. I have all the online dating tips, all of the obstacles for women our age, and hopefully the path through to success for you.
Awesome. So ladies, if you'd like that, you can go contact Joan. So thanks everybody for joining us on the It's Never Too Late show. Our show is available both in audio and video format, which can be found at yournextamazingstory.com.
Love today's episode of the It's Never Too Late show? Then head on over to yournextamazingstory.com to continue the conversation. Get access to show notes and get more amazing content.